the steam from the iron is the first thing I feel every morning. It is a wet, heavy heat that settles into my pores before the sun even touches the driveway in Merrickville. I stand over the pressing table. My back is a straight line of ironed-out pain. The garage door is rolled down and locked from the inside. Outside, the street is quiet. People are waking up in their terrace houses. They are making coffee. They are getting ready for office jobs in the city. Inside this garage, there is no morning. There is only the hum of 15 industrial sewing machines. I am 42 years old. In Vietnam, I was a teacher. In Sydney, I am a ghost. I am a peace worker. This is the word the contractor uses. It sounds professional. It sounds like I am an independent partner. In reality, it means I am paid $5 for every designer jacket I finish. Each jacket takes me 40 minutes. My hands move without me. They know the curve of the silk. They know the bite of the needle. I do not look at the labels anymore. I know they will be sold in the bright, air-conditioned shops in the Queen Victoria building. One jacket costs more than my monthly rent. Hien sits to my left. She is 60. Her eyes are clouded with cataracts, but she sews by touch. She has not been paid in 3 weeks. The contractor Min tells us the same story every Friday. The parent company is auditing the books. The system is slow. Min stands by the door. He wears a gold watch and a puffer vest. He smells like expensive cigarettes and laundry detergent. He is one of us, but he is not. He speaks our language to threaten us. He tells us the 2026 labor reforms are a trap. He says the government wants to deport illegal workers. He says the Fair Work Commission is a front for border force. This is the lie that keeps the machines running. He preys on the memory of the boats. He preys on the fear of the cage. I look at Hien. Her fingers are bleeding. She wipes the blood on her apron so it doesn't stain the white silk. If a drop of blood touches the fabric, Min deducts $50 from her ledger, a ledger that only he can see. Last night, I stayed up late. I used my daughter's laptop. She thinks I am playing card games. I was actually reading the 2026 Chain of Responsibility laws. The text was difficult. The legal English felt like a wall of thorns, but I found the gap. The new laws say the brand at the top is responsible. They cannot hide behind Min anymore. They cannot pretend they don't know this garage exists. If the machines stop, the brand feels the cold. I lean over to Hien. I pretend to check her thread tension. "Do not finish the hem," I whisper in Vietnamese. She looks at me. Her eyes are wide. "Min will scream," she whispers back. "Let him scream," I say. "He cannot sew 1,000 jackets by himself." I move to the next station. I whisper to Lan. I whisper to Fiong. The message travels like a spark through dry grass. Stop at the hem. Min is on his phone. He is laughing. He is talking about a new car. He does not notice the rhythm of the room changing. The machines are still loud, but the piles of finished goods are not growing. I feel a cold sweat on my neck. My heart is a hammer against my ribs. This is the modern-day slavery the news talks about. But the news makes it sound like we are chains and padlocks. They don't understand that the chains are made of visas and unpaid rent. 10 o'clock, the morning break. Usually we eat cold rice in 3 minutes and go back to work. Today nobody moves. I stand up. My legs are shaking. I walk to the center of the garage. I am the smallest woman in the room, but today I feel tall. "Min," I say. My voice is steady. It is the voice I used when I was a teacher in Da Nang. He looks up from his phone. He frowns. "Back to work, Han. The truck is coming at noon." "We are not finishing the jackets," I say. The silence that follows is absolute. The machines have stopped. The sudden quiet is louder than the hum ever was. Min laughs. It is a sharp, ugly sound. "You want to go home? Go. There are 50 women in Cabramatta who want your chair. They will not have the patterns," I say, "and the brand will not have their shipment for the spring launch. That launch is tomorrow." Min walks toward me. He tries to look big. He uses the shadow of his body to crowd me. "I will call the police. I will tell them you are working on tourist visas. You will be on a plane by Monday. I reach into my pocket. I pull out a printed sheet of paper. It is a copy of the 2026 Fair Work Reform Act. The police do not care about our visas, I say, but the Fair Work Commission cares about this garage. I have photos of the fire exits blocked by boxes. I have the pay logs you made us sign in pencil. I point to the laptop bag in the corner. I have already sent the files to a lawyer at the textile union. If we do not receive our back pay by noon, the enter and inspect order will be signed. Min's face changes. The gold watch confidence drains away. He looks at the other women. They are all standing now. Hien is holding her seam ripper like a dagger. Lan has her arms crossed. He looks at the pile of unfinished jackets. The white silk sits there, useless. They are shells without a soul. They are worth nothing without the hem. You are a snake, Min spits. I am a worker, I say. And you owe Hien $4,000. He looks at his phone. He is calculating. He knows the parent company will destroy him if the shipment is seized. He is a middleman. A middleman is only useful as long as he is quiet. I have just made him very, very loud. He walks to the back office. He slams the door. We wait. The air in the garage feels different. The smell of dust and oil is still there, but the fear has lifted. We are not ghosts anymore. We are a problem that needs to be solved. Hien touches my arm. Her hand is rough. Hien, she whispers. What if they come for us? We are already in the dark, Hien. I tell her, the only way out is to turn on the light. 30 minutes pass. The office door opens. Min holds a stack of envelopes. He does not look at us. He walks down the line. He drops an envelope at each station. I open mine. It is cash. It is not the full amount. It is a goodwill payment. It is a bribe to make us start the machines. Finish the work, Mian says. His voice is flat. The truck comes at 1. After that, this shop is closed. You are all fired. I look at the women. They look at the money. For some, it is the first time they have held a $100 bill in years. Is this enough? I ask the room. No, Lan says. It is a start, Hien says. She puts the money in her bra. We sit back down. We do not smile. We do not celebrate. We know this is not the end of the war. Tomorrow, Min will open a new garage under a new name. He will find a new suburb. He will find women who haven't read the 2026 laws yet. But today we finish the jackets. We sew the hems with perfect, spiteful precision. The truck arrives at 1. We load the boxes in silence. Min watches us from the shadows of the garage, his face a mask of hate. He knows he has lost his power over this specific group of ghosts. As the truck drives away, I take my bag. I walk out of the garage and into the bright Sydney sun. The light is blinding. I walk to the bus stop. My back still hurts. My hands are still stained with industrial dye. But when the bus arrives, I sit in the front. I look at the people in their nice clothes. I know who made their sleeves. I know who finished their collars. I pull out my phone. I call the number for the Textile, Clothing, and Footwear Union. Hello, I say. My name is Han. I just left a factory in Merrickville. I have the names of 14 other women who need to speak with you. The woman on the other end of the line asks me if I am safe. I am safe, I say, but I am not finished. The 2026 reforms were supposed to protect us. The laws were written on paper, but paper is thin. It can be torn, it can be burned. The only thing that holds is the thread. I look out the window as we cross the bridge. The city is beautiful and heartless. It is built on the labor of people who are told to stay quiet. I think of Hien. I think of the $4,000 she is still owed. The cash in my pocket is a partial victory. It will pay my rent for 2 months. It will buy my daughter the textbook she needs. But it is hollow. It is the price of my silence for today, and I have already decided I will not be silent tomorrow. I get off at my stop. I walk past a shop window. There is a mannequin wearing the white silk jacket. It looks elegant. It looks effortless. I see a tiny loose thread on the cuff. It is a mistake I left on purpose. A signature. I smile. The strike was silent. The machines have moved, but the machinery of the law is finally turning. I walk into my apartment. I sit at the kitchen table. I open the laptop. I start a list. Merrickville. Garage 42. Contractor Min. Camp C. Unit 12. Contractor unknown. I will find them all. I will teach them the law. I was a teacher once. I am a teacher again. The lesson today is simple. If you do not pay the hands, the work does not happen. If you do not respect the person, the system breaks. I close my eyes. I can still hear the hum of the machines in my head. It is a sound I will never escape. But now, it doesn't sound like a cage. It sounds like a countdown. The industry is changing. The 2026 reforms are the hammer. We are the ones who have to swing it. I reach for my tea. My fingers are steady. The bleeding has stopped. I am Han. I am a Vietnamese-Australian woman. I am a garment worker. And I am no longer a ghost.